Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Last week, tonight is back tonight, baby. Vulture caught up with John Oliver and said, "You've spoken in the past about how you've wanted Last Week Tonight to have a Muppet Show quality to it. What is it about mascots that are funny to you as a comedian, and why do you think they're so effective at elevating your segments?" John Oliver said, "It is definitely true. The showrunner and I were both huge fans of the Muppets growing up. They were big comedic influences on us. I still think that the Muppets are spectacular. It's interesting watching little clips of them now. I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I've wondered what they think about them. They seem to really like The Swedish Chef. The Swedish Chef is still funny. It's classic wordless comedy. I've always loved it. I definitely felt like it was a fun way to elevate stories and give it a sense of playful fun, especially in a story that's incredibly bleak. We don't want to overdo it. We want to be motivated each time. The first time we made something that was going to be directly motivated by the main story was the piece about tobacco. We made Jeff the diseased lung in a cowboy hat. We made it to screw with Marlboro. That was pretty clearly motivated in the body of the story. We wanted to try to get these images of our Marlboro mascot to mess with their Google results. We felt that bringing the mascot to life would be fun, and it was. It was really, really fun. Vulture said, "I'm convinced at this point HBO will give your show whatever you want, no money questions asked. Do you actually have to worry about a mascot budget?" Oliver said, "They don't know how much things cost, and long may that continue." John, can you tell us how much an average mascot cost? Oliver said, "No, you're basically asking me to cancel myself. If HBO ever finds out how much we spent on this stuff, we are toast. They're never going to find out that number. I'll take that to my grave. I'm not even going to whisper that into someone's ear when I die." Last Week Tonight, back tonight. I wonder if he's got anything to talk about. Has there been any news stories that he hasn't covered? Should be a good one tonight. Chortle wrote about Jimmy Carr. "Hey, you Yanks, you got to get on board with Jimmy Carr. Maybe you know about Jimmy Carr now because Netflix throws him up there a lot. At least they do on my recommendation engine." But Chortle says, "Jimmy Carr is the funniest British comedian according to a dispassionately scientific study. Researchers took a strictly numerical approach to the art, counting the number of minutes of laughter each stand-up generated per hour. Jimmy Carr topped the poll with 4 minutes and 46 seconds of laughter per hour. Second, Peter Kay, 4 minutes 38. Jack Whitehall, third, with 3 minutes 59 seconds. Michael McIntyre and Ed Gamble round out the top five." But Chortle says the votes don't appear to tally with how viewers rate each comics. Of the top 20, James Acaster's stand-up special has the highest rating on IMDb at 8.4 out of 10, but he's only number 12 on the Laughs Per Hour list. 18 of the 20 comics were male. Sarah Millican at number 19 and Eddie Izzard at number 15. Victoria Wood was bubbling just under the top 20. She came in at a minute 59 seconds of laughter per hour. 2,563 participants were asked to choose their favorite British comedian. Then 120 volunteers agreed to watch a random selection of the top 20 comedians' most recent stand-up shows while a microphone monitored every time they laughed at 60 decibels or louder. Results were taken at home rather than a live environment. Here's your list. Jimmy Carr, number 1, 4 minutes 46 seconds. Peter Kay, number 2. Jack Whitehall, Michael McIntyre, Ed Gamble, Billy Connolly, Jason Manford, Ramesh Ranganathan, Bill Bailey, Ricky Gervais, number 10, Frankie Boyle, James Acaster, Neesh Kumar, Russell Howard, Eddie Izzard, Tom Allen, Kevin Bridges, John Bishop, Sarah Millican, and Rod Gilbert, number 20, at 1 minute and 50 seconds. What does Joe DeRosa miss about comedy during the pandemic? He spoke to the Interrobang. He says, "As a stand-up comedian, what I miss most is the roar of the crowd, the thrill of stepping on stage, the excitement, the anticipation before a show when you're going to break out some material that they may or may not like." And then he said, messing around. Can you believe how many jerky comedians said that in 2020? That's what they missed. Really? It wasn't your mom and dad. It wasn't the dog you haven't seen in 8 months because it's at your nana's house and you thought you were going to be able to pick it up next week and then this hit the fan. You couldn't go back and get the dog. It wasn't going to your favorite bar. It wasn't going out on dates. It wasn't socializing with people you love. No, it was stepping on stage at a comedy club in front of a bachelorette party so you could tell your dumb jokes. Stupid comedians. You know what I don't miss in 2021? Comedians. How about that? That's what I don't miss. That's great. Kenan Thompson spoke to Deadline about his new show. It launches February 16th. Let's count on our fingers. Monday, Tuesday. That's Tuesday. Kenan says it's the third iteration of the show. That's not good. It originally piloted in 2019. with Jackie Clark writing and Chris Rock directing, but then was redeveloped with somebody else as a showrunner and Clark co-writing. Don Johnson replaced Andy Garcia in the series. Thompson said developing the show outside the traditional pilot process helped. Keenan said it was going in one direction for the original pilot that we shot, and Chris Rock was involved, and it was great. And then we had a moment and opportunity to sit down with it and flesh it out even further, as opposed to being the pressure of pilot week. We stretched it out to where it is right now, and I think we're all pretty grateful that we had a chance to live with the material for a while. The universe just unfolded in a way where we have the cast that we're currently dealing with now. The initial table reads were done over Zoom, and Keenan says that made them weird and choppy. Chris Red's internet was so bad that the production sent him a Wi-Fi booster. Apparently, it would always go out when he was about to hit a punchline. Don Johnson said the only time he saw his cast members face-to-face was when they were in character. The show is called Keenan, about a widowed dad played by, can you guess, do you think it's Chris Red, Don Johnson, or Keenan Thompson? Who do you think plays Keenan? You're right, it's Keenan Thompson. And as the widowed dad, he's juggling a high-profile job as the host of an Atlanta morning show and raising his two girls. As Keenan tries to move on, his father-in-law, Don Johnson, and his brother, Chris Red, and co-workers all have strong opinions on the way to live his life. Oh, there's more. The show centers on the familial relationships as Keenan tries to reclaim his life. Keenan's daughters are his world, the too smart Aubrey and the silly, unpredictable Birdie. He struggles to balance parenting them as a single dad and hosting a show, which leads him to reluctantly accepting help from his father-in-law. Rick, that's Don Johnson, was a gallivanting sax player when his daughter was young, and he missed out on a lot of her childhood. So he's aiming to make that up with his granddaughters, although his old school parenting style doesn't often match up to Keenan's. Oh, there's more in this complicated sitcom. At work, Keenan excels at his job with the help of his driven executive producer, Mika. Mika can be tightly wound, especially when Gary, who is Keenan's not-so-managerial manager, tries to insert himself. But Mika remains a confidant and an ally to Keenan. They're able to be vulnerable with one another and connect as friends, and maybe something more. Lorne Michaels is involved, and it's on NBC, so this will not get canceled quickly, like Keenan a lot, but boy, that sounds complicated. Can I interest you in a TV comedy series about the Detroit auto industry? No? NBC thinks we can. This from EW. EW points out, Hollywood has tried to depict the car industry before with semi-disastrous results. Remember the 1986 movie Gung Ho, about the relationship between American Union auto workers and Japanese car makers? No? No, you don't. Roger Ebert called it a disappointment, gave it 2 stars. Ed Asner's Thunder Alley was about the car industry and lasted 2 seasons. You know, I kind of remember Gung Ho. Thunder Alley, I have erased that from my mind. Should I go to Google? I'm going to Google. Ed Asner, Thunder Alley. Let's see. Thunder Alley is an American sitcom that aired from March 94 to July 95 on ABC. The show stars Edward Asner as retired race car driver Gil Jones. The unaired original pilot featured Felicity Huffman in the role of Bobby Turner, Gil's daughter. When ABC picked up the series, Huffman was replaced with actress Diane Venora, but wait, there's more. The pilot was reshot and Venora played the role for 8 episodes before she was replaced by Robin Riker, who played the role for the remainder of the series. The series also featured future Academy Award nominee Haley Joel Osment. The story involved Bobby returning after a divorce to live with her father, and so were her 3 children. There are 27 episodes of this thing, Thunder Alley, starring Ed Asner, but I digress. That's not what we were talking about. We were talking about NBC's new sitcom, which NBC says is set at the headquarters of a major American automotive company in Detroit, where a floundering group of executives try to discover the company identity amidst a rapidly changing industry. American Auto, it's called. Anna Gasteyer stars. I want to cancel this now, but I'm sensing some Lorne Michaels action, so it'll last. Anna Gasteyer plays Catherine Hastings, the CEO of Payne Motors, P-A-Y-N-E Motors. American Auto, coming to NBC this fall. All right, it's Sunday. It's another Matt Berry Sunday. I told you the other day, Matt Berry's Toast of London getting a 4th season, Toast of Tinseltown, Matt Berry's Stephen Toast will come to the States. Cannot wait for that one. If you're not watching Toast of London, it's on Netflix. You should do it. And Victoria Clark has been writing these Matt Berry things in Vulture, and I've been getting a kick out of them. So it's another Matt Berry Sunday here on Daily Comedy News. Anne writes, "Dear Matt Berry, please, please start a Twitch stream." Anne writes, "These are hard times, and when things get really dark, we at Vulture like to double down on the things that are still capable of bringing us happiness. That's why we're running this recurring column, which serves as half celebration and half brainstorm for someone we're consistently delighted to see show up on our screens. Beloved British performer of stage and screen, Matt Berry. He's best known for shows like Toast of London, The IT Crowd, and What We Do in the Shadows. You know who this guy is. He's the British vampire in Shadows. But we're confident that a performance by Matt Berry would spruce up all sorts of film and TV stories, big and small." She writes, "Times have been tough in the Matt Berry-verse. On January 21st, season 2 of Year of the Rabbit, which is a show co-written by and starring Berry himself, was canceled by Channel 4 due to funding issues at the network. Then the entire cast of What We Do in the Shadows didn't get one Golden Globe nomination. Quote, in what I can only describe as an act of tyrannical malice. These setbacks added a panicked urgency to a problem that has long been brewing in the traditional media landscape. Its infrastructure can no longer provide us with all the Matt Berry content we need. We, the people, are sick of waiting around for rooms of executives to decide whether the artists we love are worth airing. That is why it's time for Matt Berry to take matters into his own sturdy, pinky ring-wearing hands. It's time for Matt Berry to become a Twitch streamer." Think about it, a Matt Berry Twitch channel. It sounds so wrong, but feels so right, like pizza bagels or buying stock in GameStop, two things that are already very popular with the average Twitch audience. Now, I don't have any actual evidence that this man has ever even held a PlayStation controller. I'm not entirely confident he'd know what one was if he even saw it, but that's fine. Gaming isn't actually a requirement for Twitch stardom. The other day, I logged on and saw a channel that was just a woman in her underwear pulling various items out of a shopping bag, and 5,000 people were watching it. Now, consider Berry is a man with an enormous built-in online audience, just waiting for the opportunity. He has 300,000 Twitter followers. There's an active Facebook group called the Matt Berry Appreciation Society. To be accepted in that group, you have to fill out in-depth questionnaires required for each of the 19,000 dedicated Berry fans. Wow. That group trades photos, memes, quotes, and thoughts on his body of work. Basically, anything the man has ever done is of interest to those Berry enthusiastic fans. There's a pun there. Did you see that? In interviews, Berry's often quiet and reserved, which is not at all the kind of persona you'd expect to host a live stream, but his apparent disinterest in being a celebrity is a big part of his enigmatic appeal. The few interviews he's done from home during the pandemic have given a rare glimpse that the stream could be. Berry in his camera-ready wood-paneled home studio, wearing rosy aviator sunglasses, drinking from a tankard. It's a whole-ass vibe that's perfect for Twitch. Berry even paints. Can you imagine a Bob Ross-style show, but with Matt Berry doing surrealism? Doesn't the mere thought of it make you go almost insane? He could wear a beret, a Matt Beret. That's your comedy news for today. I think on Sunday I will post next week's matchup for the comedy top dog. I'll reveal to you in the morning who won week one. Was it Bill Burr or Jim Gaffigan? But, you know, if you post on the Instagram today at some point when I'm playing video games and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I should post that. I will post it. And then we will do week two. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Follow on Spotify. If you like what I do, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. And I will see you tomorrow.